Hi, this is Chris Kepler with Does This Happen to You? The podcast where we explore the more bizarre ways of getting through your day. This week, we continue with stories from author Dawn Nelson from her book, A Cowgirl Always Gets Even. And here is Laundry. This story is pretty funny. If you are not me, my daughter, my husband, my washing machine, or my clothes. Okay, maybe it is only going to be funny to you. On the day this incident occurred, my husband had gone to one of his friend's house for the evening and left me and my daughter home alone. I figured I would catch up on some house cleaning and laundry before we retired for the evening. My daughter eagerly helped me for a little while, but soon fell asleep on the couch and left me to fill the washer up the next time. I quickly filled it up and went to wash dishes. I was busy scrubbing a frying pan when a strange aroma hit me. I knew instantly what it was. I dropped the pan and ran to the shelf above the washing machine. To my horror, a small bottle with a bright yellow label was not where it was supposed to be. The house was quickly getting stronger with the smell. I cringed as I heard the washing machine shift cycles. "Oh, please, no!" I yelled as I opened the lid, and tears sprung to my eyes from the stench that hit me full force from the open lid. I wiped the tears from my cheeks and stuck my hand into the foaming water in the washing machine. I quickly felt the bottle and pulled it out. I looked about the laundry room, my mind reeling with what I should do, as I looked at the small little brown bottle that was going to cause my husband to have a fit of frenzy. I knew he would make me throw all the clothes away in the washing machine if he knew, so I made up my mind if the smell came out, I would never tell him about it. I quickly set the now half-full bottle down on the dryer and emptied all the water out of the washing machine with buckets and hauled it outside about 100 yards away from the house and poured it out. Then I rinsed the washing machine out with vinegar and hand-rinsed all the jeans. After that, I placed all the jeans back in the washing machine, put in a cup of vinegar, and 2 cups of soap. I washed those jeans 3 times that night and lit every candle in the house to get rid of the smell. I threw another blanket on my still-sleeping daughter and opened the doors and windows wide despite the cold early spring air. To my luck, he came home about 1 a.m. and went straight to bed. The next morning, I was a little surprised to hear nothing about the smell. We decided to go out to breakfast that morning, and when we came home and opened the door, the smell hit us full force. My husband said, "What is that?" "I don't know. It must be a dead mouse or something," I replied. I lit some candles, and within a day or so, the house was back to normal. Since this incident, I no longer keep my coyote urine above the washing machine. If it looks like shit, smells like shit, and tastes like shit, it must be shit. And here is a good friend. 2 friends of mine and I decided to load up our horses one weekend and head up to the range to check on our cattle. We had a fun drive up to the range corrals, and once there, quickly tightened our cinches and headed off. We rode, talked, and laughed for the better part of 4 hours with nothing exciting much happening. Once back at the trailer, we loaded the horses and decided that before we head home, we should drive up the main highway and make sure the loggers closed the next gate. As we rounded the corner, our eyes were met by about 6 pair of our cattle standing in the highway and up on the side of a clay hill beside the road. I said a few words I will not repeat now, and pulled up the road until we found a wide spot we could pull over in and unload 2 of the 3 horses. My friend and I quickly made our way down the busy highway to where our cattle were, and as we did, along came a large semi-truck at top speeds. He didn't slow down much, and we were sure he was going to be wearing leather. The cattle took off straight up the side of the hill. We knew the horses were not going to be able to follow as we watched a calf lose its footing and fall down a few feet, regain, and continue up. I looked at my friend and said, "Here, hold my horse. I will go up after them." "Good, because I wasn't going to," she joked as she took the reins of my gelding. I started climbing up the hill and soon found that for every 5 steps you took, you made it about a foot and a half. I made it to the top and chased the cattle along the fence towards the open gate. This was all fine and dandy until the trail narrowed to where even the cows could not walk on it. They stepped off the flat top and made their way slowly around the steep clay hillside that was a good 50 feet above the highway where my friend walked along with the horses. As I stepped off the top, I grabbed a hold of the barbed wire for support, and as I did, my feet went out from under me. The only thing that was keeping me at the top of the hill was a single strand of barbed wire. I looked over my shoulder at my friend, who I knew was probably rolling on the ground by the sight of me hanging from the top of this hill by a strand of wire. "Hold on," she yelled in a true concerned friend's voice. "I am going to get the camera." Now, that is a true friend. When you are hanging from a strand of barbed wire from a cliff by the skin of your teeth, she goes to get the camera. Now I know what good friends are for. Always having evidence of the latest stupid thing you did. Never approach a bull from the front, a horse from the rear, or a fool from any direction. Spring colt. It was springtime on our ranch, and with springtime comes green grass, and with green grass comes fresh horses. It just seems to go hand in hand. Don't ask me why, but it does. So every spring I seem to be doing the same old thing, like it or not. I am the gal who gets to see what the saddle horses have forgotten over the long, cold winter months. I had 3 geldings in the trailer that morning, and all 3 full of piss and vinegar clean up to their ears. They were fat and sassy and full of themselves. I am not much of a round pen person. I use a round pen for a few things, but try to keep my time there limited. Once I get a little buck out of a horse, then I like to take them out to the hills and work them. The first of the 3 had no squabbles. He took everything like he was an old trooper. I ran him a quick lap on the ground around the round pen, and satisfied the bucking was going to be minimal, I climbed aboard. He walked a little gingerly, but kept his back straight. I walked him about 5 laps and broke him into a trot. He humped up his back and kicked up his heels, but that was all he had. After 2 more laps at a trot, we broke into a lope, and I finally opened the gate and headed him up the road. We rode for about 30 minutes until I saw sweat glistening on his neck. He hadn't done anything wrong, so I turned him and headed back to the round pen. Pulling my saddle, I tied him to the trailer and unloaded the next gelding, a 4-year-old, and walked him to the round pen. I saddled him and stood out of his way as he leapt for the sky 5 or 6 times. I worked him another 2 laps and, satisfied it was all out, climbed aboard. He moved out eagerly. We did the same routine as I did with the first one. Walk a little trot and then lope. I soon opened the gate and took him up the road. He was eager to get out and stepped out great. I had no fears that he was ready for the year at hand. When we had finished our ride, I returned to the trailer for the final horse, a big, strapping 6-year-old Appaloosa gelding. We got to the round pen, saddled up, and he refused to move off. I knew what that meant. He had a secret that he didn't want to show me just yet. With a twirl of the lead rope, he was off, snorting and bucking like he had never carried a saddle before in his life. I quickly grabbed the stock whip and cracked it in the air a few times to take his mind off bucking. It worked. He straightened out and ran laps. I asked him to change directions, and again he took to bucking. I cracked the whip again, and he ran straight. After about 15 minutes of snorting and bucking at every change of direction, I must confess I got a little irked. So I grabbed the bridle and slipped it on him, gave the cinch a tug, and stepped aboard. He gave a snort and bucked three hops. I matched his hops with hard kicks to his side. Finally, he got the message and trotted smooth around the pen. Then I opened the gate and headed him towards the farthest cattle pasture at a long trot. I knew the cows in that pasture needed to be moved, and with him acting like a spring idiot, I was going to make him work. About a mile later, we pulled up at the pasture gate. He was huffing and puffing and still looking for home. I opened and closed the gate and got back on. As I came full astride, and before I could get my second foot in the stirrup, he lowered his head and lit to bucking again. I sucked swell with my knees and used the reins as an over and under. He ran full length of the branding corral fence with his side to the boards. I caught a couple of splinters on my lower leg and cussed the day of his birth. He kept bucking, and I kept the over and under going until he straightened out and hit a full run across the pasture. I dropped my legs and found my stirrups and let that son of a buck run. The next gate came into view, so I slowed him, and he seemed eager to obey. As we reached the gate, I stepped off and opened the gate and laid it back along the fence. This was the gate the cows were going to come through to get into the pasture that we had just run across. I sucked up the inside rein and climbed aboard my bronc, expecting the worst. He never moved. He stood rock solid, breathing like a freight train as I got on and quickly found my off stirrup. I sighed a deep sigh of relief as he walked off towards the back of the pasture, as if he knew now what I wanted. We rode another hour rounding up the cattle and pushing them towards the gate. They went good until we started across the last small meadow before the gate. In this meadow was a small man-made pond, the last water hole before the new pasture, and all the cows stood around it getting a drink. My gelding and I stood a short distance away waiting for them to drink. Finally, when the cows were all done, we started in toward them at a slow walk. My dog circled the far side of the pond and eagerly moved the cows off the edge. We successfully had all the cattle pushed away from the water and heading towards the gate when a big black bull saw my dog. He started for him, and without thinking, I gave a hard kick to the gelding and started to head the bull off from my dog. About three-quarters of the way to an interception of the bull and my dog, I heard a very subtle-sounding ting. I knew the sound instantly. Wire. A small hunk of barbed wire flew by my face and, to my utter shock, landed on the gelding's forelock, and there it was caught. I no sooner saw it than that gelding must have thought a giant bird had got hold of him in its talons, for he instantly dropped his head and took to bucking. In the sudden stop and rapid change of stride, I about lost my seat and knew I was going to come off, so I did the only thing I could. I grabbed the reins and turned his head into my knee. He spun once, and that was enough for me to hook my off knee under the swell on that side. I silently thanked God as I straightened myself back astride the still snorting and bucking gelding. He headed for the cattle, and I turned him back towards the pond. I headed him straight towards that pond, not knowing quite how deep it was, and splash! We landed center of that pond. Now that gelding must have thought I had done everything, for he just froze instantly still. Not a movement except his breathing, and our heartbeats could be heard. I quickly reached up and pulled the small 6-inch strand of wire from his forelock, and petting him a bit to calm him down, the whole while wet and smelly from that stinking pond water. After a few minutes, my gelding calmed and grabbed himself a drink in the mid-belly-high water. After he drank, we walked out and back over to where the cattle had already found the gate by themselves. We closed the gate and headed for the trailer. He never made another bad move, nor has he ever bucked in the years since that episode. I am not sure if he thinks I am the devil and will stick my claws in him and try to drown him again, or if he just realized it wasn't worth it. But whatever the reason, he has been a great horse ever since that spring ride. When in doubt, just steer him. If you enjoyed these stories, please let me know. Thanks so much for listening. And next week, we'll have more Does This Happen to You? Moments.